If you're joining us for the first time, so honored to have you. I'm so excited to have you today. We are continuing in the sermon series called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's the longest sermon series I have ever done because it's the most important sermon series I have ever done. Today is week 6 in the series, and if you include the introduction, is actually week 7. Next week is the last sermon in the series, and we're going to end it with baptisms next week. So if you've never been water baptized, I may encourage you. We like to say, take the plunge. It's your outward confession of faith. It's that outward symbol of what God has done in your heart and life inwardly. So let me encourage you to get water baptized if you haven't. If you're just joining us in this series, you're just coming in for the first time, let me encourage you to go to our website or download our app. All the sermons are there. You can watch them. You can download the podcast. You can catch up to the messages. So important to stay in tune and in touch with what's being taught here on Sunday mornings. So let me encourage you to do that. Last week, my wife did an amazing job on a difficult topic. She talked about enlarging your soul through grief and loss, and that was a very timely message. So today I'm going to talk to you about rest. Is that good? Talk about rest. Let's take a moment. Can we just breathe? Not too hard, though. Can we just rest? Can we rest in this moment? Isn't this a beautiful moment? Just inhale. And just release everything to God. When you breathe in, just receive His love today. And when you breathe out, just release every worry, every care, everything that weighs heavy on your heart. Jesus, we release everything to you. Speak to our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. The foundation of this sermon series has been this for the past few weeks. We've been talking about that it is impossible to be spiritually mature while being emotionally immature. I have been pastoring for 25 years, and I can tell you that the number one problem I've encountered in the local church has been people who have not grown emotionally. It's been once said that you can be a 25-year-old Christian, meaning serving Jesus for 25 years, but yet still be an infant emotionally. And your emotional health has a direct impact on your spiritual life. It really does. This has been the missing component in the church. This has been the missing component in my teaching for many years, helping people process what's happening beneath the surface of their life. A lot of what we do as a church, and I say the church in general, meaning the church of Jesus Christ, really focuses on, if we go back to that iceberg, it focuses on the top part of that iceberg. That's the part that everybody sees. But this is who we really are beneath the surface of our life. And in order for us to grow spiritually, we have to grow emotionally. And that requires combining two, I'll call them forces. Emotional health, which simply means being self-aware of what's going on in your soul. Be self-aware of what's going on beneath the surface of your life. Your triggers, your reactions, the envy, the jealousy, the anger, the things that come up, the feeling in your gut when you have to go to a meeting you don't want to be at, the desire to cut people off. We have to be self-aware of what's going on in our souls So emotional health is being self-aware of those things that are going on beneath the surface of our life. But it results in loving others well. Emotional health means that you love people well. How do you know that you are emotionally healthy? You love others. By your words, by your thoughts, your actions. And I don't mean loving the people that love you, because how many know that's easy? Well, that's easy. I mean to love the people that rub you the wrong way. Loving the people that annoy you. Loving others that are different than you. Loving others that believe differently from you. This requires high differentiation. It requires us to be able to separate ourselves from other people. And recognizing that everyone's created in the image of God. That's a sign that you're doing good, that you're loving people in spite of how you're being treated. In spite of the text messages you're receiving. You don't react in anger. You don't retaliate. You don't just blurt out what comes into your mind. You thoughtfully think about how you're going to respond, and you think about how would Jesus respond. That hard. That's why we need transformation. That's why we need contemplative spirituality. You combine emotional health with contemplative spirituality. That means slowing down long enough to create space in your life to be with God. Because you cannot change what you're not aware of. You can't. You can't change what you're not aware of. You need to be aware of what needs to be changed, and then you have to give God access to what's beneath the surface of your life and invite him to change you in those areas. But you're not going to experience that change if you don't slow down to be with him. Does that make sense? Sorry. And this is the problem. We are busy. I really believe that busyness is our number one, I'll say it low because I don't want to offend anybody. Workaholism and busyness is our number one sin. Hard to even say that workaholism and busyness can be a sin. You say, why? Because when we're so busy not to be with God, this is not legalism. This is about relationship. We're fracturing our relationship with God. You know what we're doing? We're putting other things ahead of our relationship with God. And God calls that idolatry. I got to breathe on that one. Maybe not too far. Let me just stay big up. These are different times. You're like, Pastor, you could breathe, but can you turn that way? So what do? We need to incorporate the rhythm of being with God and rest into our lives and into our schedules, because we are overbooked, overcrowded, overbusy. And when we're overbusy, we do violence to our souls. You want more?
Yes.
Okay. Today I want to talk to you about the rhythm of Sabbath. The rhythm of slowing down to be with God. The rhythm of Sabbath. Here's my man, Superman. How many remember that Superman? This is, you young people don't know Superman. This is the real deal. This is Superman. And so many people, when I was younger, kind of said I looked a lot like him. I don't know what it was. Maybe. I think some of y'all get confused because of the glasses, But if I take my glasses off and put on my... Come on now, y'all thought I was joking. Y'all thought I was joking. I used to play that part, yo. See, let me see this. I'm retired now, but let me see if it fits. Oh my goodness, wait. Let me see if it fits. There we go. Boom. Now this is the part that you're gonna see it when I take my glasses off. Just wait. Thank you very much. Now I'm back to Clark. I'm back to Joe. Superman, I loved him. I was a little boy. I wanted to be like him. How many wanted to be like Superman when you were little? You wanted to fly. You wanted to have power. You wanted to beat up the bad guys. You wanted to climb the skyscrapers and fly through the world and fly in the sky. I loved Superman. You know the problem with Superman is that he's not real. Isn't that a bummer? He's not real. Now, Christopher Reeve, when everybody saw him, they connected him immediately to Superman. Wherever he went, he wasn't Christopher Reeve. He was Superman until he had a horse accident. He was riding on a horse, fell off the horse, and Superman became a quadriplegic from the neck down. The story gripped me. I don't know about you. Like, he looked invincible. Even if it was fake, at least let me believe a little bit of it. You know, as a kid, you know, 7, 8 years old, but when I was a young adult to hear what happened to him, this man who once represented strength, invincibility, power, now relies on everyone and everyone just to breathe and live. But you know what? Christopher Reeve didn't allow that accident to break him. He embraced his limitations. And by embracing his limitations, he became a person of substance. This is what he said, which is really cool. He says, I obviously didn't wish this, but it's amazing. Really? If it hadn't happened, I probably would have been that person that people would say, oh, he's the actor who used to do that thing with the cape. If he doesn't have this limitation in his life, he's just the guy that played the part. But he experienced this limitation in his life, and he embraced it, and he became a person of substance, right? He started the Christopher and now called Dana Reeve Foundation. He's raised millions and millions and millions of dollars and also has helped find they're working towards a cure for spinal injuries and paralysis. He's had therapies when he was recovering and he was trying to recover from this accident. They discovered groundbreaking therapies to help people in this condition. His life had meaning and purpose because he embraced his limits. And I'm here to tell you today that your life will have meaning and purpose when you learn how to embrace the limits, slow down, and rest. You see, living graciously within the boundaries of our lives as has been entrusted to us, gives us a life of substance. When we don't live with limits, when we don't live with boundaries, when we're running ourselves to the ground, you know what we do? We act like Superman or Superwoman. And I wonder how many people out there have a cape on this morning and think that they are here to save the world. And they think that the world relies on them. And this is true, so true for us. We act like Superman or Superwoman sometimes. And we think we have to keep going. And we think that things won't survive without us. And we think that we have to be available for everything and for everyone. And we're running from here. And we're flying over there. And we're flying over here. And we're running and running and running and running. And what we don't realize is that we're not Superman, we're humans. And we're not invincible. We have limits. We have boundaries. There's things that we actually can't do. And this is, I'm not saying that pastor's putting a lid on me. I'm not saying that. I mean, there are moments to believe that God has more and to believe that you can do more. There's moments like that. Well, I'm just talking about generalities that when it comes to the busyness of life, we can't be everywhere, do everything, and be everything to everyone. That's what led me to burnout in 2015 and 16. I put on my super pastor cape. It's true. And I thought I had to be available for everyone. I had to be there for everyone. I had to fix everybody. I had to preach every service. I had to do every meeting. I had to be everywhere. I had to do everything. Then I had to fly home and be the best father I could be and be the best husband I could be and then be the best son I could be and then be the best pastor I could be. And I was running until one day Superman experienced a crash. Kryptonite came into my life. And that kryptonite was busyness. And I remember when God spoke to my heart, I was painting the kids' hallway on a Saturday because I was nonstop. I thought doing for God meant that God was okay with my busyness for God. Does that make sense? And I ignored my limits, my boundaries. And I remember we had redone the hallway. By the way, when you walk into the kids' hallway and you see it green, that was me. I painted it. And I remember painting that hallway. It was a Saturday night. I had three services the next day. And I remember I almost collapsed in exhaustion. And I remember the Lord saying, "What are you doing?" Like, he said it with an attitude. Like, "What are you doing? I mean, what's your problem, bro?" And I'm like, "I'm doing this for you, Lord." He goes, "No, you're not. I didn't ask you to paint. I asked you to preach." Oh. I said, "I'm sorry, Lord. I will never paint the church again." To this day, I don't paint the church because I recognize that's not my calling. I have limits. I have boundaries. I can't do everything. You know, the best thing I ever did was take off this super pastor cape and put on my human cape, my jean jacket. Come on, somebody, right? Put on my jean jacket. This is me. I'm a human with limits and boundaries. I can't do everything. I'm called to be a pastor, but just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm more important than you. Doesn't mean what you're doing is more important than me. So we all have assignments. We all have roles and jobs. But you know what I learned through that series of burnout is that the best thing that I could bring to the world was the best me. And the best thing you could bring to this world is the best version of you. The best you. Not a burnt out you, not an exhausted you, not a tired you, not a coping you, not a depleted you, not just trying to get through the motions, not the you on fumes, a healthy you, a strong you. And I don't mean we don't go through season of weakness. I'm in season of weakness, and that's fine too, being myself and human in the eyes of others. But what I'm learning is that the best thing I can bring to you as a pastor is the best me, a rested me. A pastor that actually takes days off and rests, puts his family above ministry. People say, "Oh, you're busy." I say, "I'm not busy. I'm just limited. I have limits. And you do too." So I want to talk to everyone here today, and I'm going to run out of time. I'm already so late, but I want to talk to those who are tired and depleted and exhausted, who are running on fumes. Because when you're burnt out, it affects every area of your life. Do you recognize that word burnt out is used a lot? Like, "I'm burnt out. I don't want to go to work. I'm burnt out. I don't want to go shopping. I'm burnt out. I don't want to do things. I just want to stay home. I'm exhausted. I'm depleted." And do you know something? That people this year are going to start experiencing the symptoms of burnout because of what's happened the past 2 years. because we've been going. People have brought work from work to home and don't have limits and boundaries, and they're running themselves to the ground without realizing it. And I love this verse. Jesus says it in the Message translation. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, meaning doing stuff for God, like religion is doing things to accomplish, to achieve. Come to me. Isn't that beautiful? Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a what? Real rest. Not a nap. Real rest. What kind of rest? A rest for your soul. And then he says, walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Then he says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Isn't that powerful? Are you walking around with heaviness? The Bible calls that a yoke, like the yoke of an oxen. Sometimes we walk around with these heavy yokes and burdens that we were never meant to carry. You weren't meant to carry the problems of the world. You weren't created to solve the political issues of the world. You were not created to listen to the news 5, 6, 7 hours a day. Your soul is not created for that. You weren't created to take on everybody's problems and issues. And for so many of us, we're putting on ourselves yokes and burdens that we were never meant to carry, that Jesus carried on the cross. He already carried them on the cross 2,000 years ago. And what we're doing is we're taking them off the cross and putting them on ourselves, and we think we're the ones that got to fix the problems of fix the things in this world. Now, there is, don't get me wrong, God does call us to be the answer, to be his hands and feet. But if God has not put you in that position, perhaps you're carrying a burden you were never meant to carry. Because he says, keep company with me and you'll learn how to live freely and light. Ah. I want to see y'all come into church free, free, instead of like this. Free, free. Ah, isn't this great? Like a gazelle, just fly. It's the only way I can illustrate free and light. Not on the outside, on the inside. Right? Free, light. How many want to live freely and lightly? You're saying, Pastor, I know what you're thinking. You can't live free and lightly. Is he lying? Is God lying? He's telling us we could live free and light if we learn his rhythm for our life. He's created a rhythm for us to live by. And incorporated in that rhythm is called the Sabbath. The Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat. Say that with me. Shabbat, which means to what, church? To cease and to stop working. God created a day for us to rest. Isn't that beautiful? And it comes from Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 and 9. Now, let me give you the backstory. This is listed in the Ten Commandments. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Other Ten Commandments are like, do not kill. Right? Do not steal. Do not have any other idols. Do not bear false witness. And right in the middle of it, it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That tells you how serious God takes remembering the Sabbath. It's right up there with do not kill. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. And he says, keep it holy, meaning set apart. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath where to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, your son, your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, or any foreigner residing in your towns, meaning those that work for you, okay, if you have a business. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that's in them. But God rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is a principle in Scripture that God wants us to live by, not for His benefit, but for ours. It's very similar to the principle of tithing. In the Old Testament, God expected His people to give the first 10% of their income to Him. And God will bless the remaining 90%. And some of you are still struggling with that principle. You're struggling to live by that principle, and you're trying to figure out how God fits into your finances. And I'm here to tell you that if you're going to become a fully transformed follower of Jesus, or if you're going to live in a transforming relationship with God, it's not about how God fits into your life. It's about revolving your life around God. It's about rearranging the priorities of your life so you can walk in the blessing of God. I thought I might get a couple amens on that, but that's what it's about, is the blessing of God. I want to walk in the blessing. I want to walk in the favor. I want to walk in the goodness of God. Right? So He gives us principles to follow. Let's start with the tithe. Give me the first 10, and I will bless the 90. Because because 90 goes farther with God's blessing than 100% without God's blessing. And some of you think holding on to what you have is the best answer. And I'm here to tell you that if you hold on to what you have, that's all you will ever have. And the Bible actually teaches that some of you are trying to hold on to what you have and you're putting in bags that have holes in it. And you're like, I can't get enough. I'm just trying. I can't tithe. I can't give. And it's not about whether or not you can or can. It's about following biblical principles that unlock the blessing of God upon your life. It's true. God doesn't lie. So the tithing principle connects a lot with the Sabbath principle. And these are two principles that I struggle to teach because I didn't want to be characterized as a pastor that preached on money. Nor did I really understand the importance of Sabbath keeping. So I'm glad we're talking about it today. Sabbath is about taking one day of your week and receiving the blessing of God, experiencing the blessing of God, delighting with God, and allowing God to bless and releasing the blessing of God on the rest of your life and the rest of your week. Here it is. The Sabbath calls us to build the doing of nothing. Say that with me. The doing of nothing into your schedule every week. How many would just love to do nothing for a day? Right? How many does that come naturally? Like, I could do nothing for a day. Now, let's be honest. How many have a hard time with that? More of us have a hard time with doing nothing. Because we're programmed to think in our culture that the harder you work, the better off you are. It's true. It's called the Mamba principle. Gotta have the Mamba mentality. And I'm here to tell you, you need the Jesus mentality, not the Mamba mentality. Oh, snap. Oh, God, this is good. Because with the Jesus mentality, you will be blessed. You will have the blessing of God. You will have the strength of God. You have the peace of God. You'll walk in the goodness of God and the favor of God. What is that Jesus mentality? It's about pausing and it's about stopping. What is the Sabbath? The four qualities. Number one is stopping work. All the things that you're doing. And that's so hard these days. You know why? Because of those darn phones and those darn computers that I love. And hate, love, hate, love, hate, love, hate. I'm going to put it away. Ding, dong, dong. I refuse to go to it. I refuse. I'm not going to check it. I do my time with God with my iPad because that's all of my books in there. But every once in a while, I'll get a ding, and before you know it, was I doing the other day? Checking out Steve Harvey's house, wherever he bought a house or something. Like, how did I go from, like, devotions to be with God and now, like, he lives in what? He has a new show? He's a judge now? Judge Steve Harvey? What's going on here? Forgive me, Lord. They're a blessing, but at the same time, they can be a curse, right? But God wants us to stop working. And you say, well, does it mean I can't do anything? No, stop doing what you get paid to do. And also stop some unpaid work. And just learn to rest. Rest. Rest in me. Build in the principle of doing nothing into your schedule. Now, yesterday we had a snow day. Did most of you stay home? How was that? Awesome. God wants to give you 52 snow days without snow, most of them, right? For you to enjoy. You see, this is the problem, though. This is what on the Sabbath, we let go of the illusion that we're indispensable to running the world. That's the problem. We think we run the world. We recognize we will never finish all of our goals and projects and that God is on the throne, managing quite well and ruling the universe without our help. Let me give you the context of this particular passage. When God gave Moses these commandments, he was giving them to the children of Israel. They had been in slavery for 400 years. That means they had not one day off. They were slaves. Slaves for 400 years. Every single day of their life. This was in their culture. This was in their bones. This was in their DNA. But God set them free. He delivered them. Because that was not God's ideal plan for their life. And now God gives them the principles to live by. And in one of them is to remember the Sabbath. In other words, you will take one day off. First of all, to be reminded that you are no longer a slave. You are free. And I'm here to declare over you that you are not slaves to your work. You are not slaves to your phone. You're not slaves to technology. You're not slaves to your computers. You're not slaves to anyone. You are free in Christ Jesus. So practicing the Sabbath just declares and really declares that you are not a slave anymore. It also declares that you are created in the image of God because God knew how to chill. That's what I love. I love it. And some of y'all need to learn how to chill. Just chill. Relax. Settle down. That to-do list will never be complete. As hard as you try. Rest. When you rest, you might need a nap, but it's more than rest. You know what that real rest he talks about? It's rest in your soul. It's relinquishing control to God. It's releasing everything to God and saying, God, this is where I'm at. I just trust you. I trust that you're going to help me accomplish my goals. But today, I'm resting in you, that you are on the throne, that you're going to take care of my family. You're going to take care of my kids. You're going to take care of my household. I'm going to cut back some jobs. Can I say that? I know some of you are working. Two jobs might be necessary, but if you're working three, can I just tell you in love? If you're working three and four jobs and you don't have a day off, trying to be Superman, I'm here to tell you. And one day you're going to recognize you're not Superman. And you'll be finding yourself on your back, not maybe physically, but emotionally. And you know what Superman happens to them? They're not aware of what's going on in their life. They're out of relationship with God. And then they're out of relationship with their spouse. And then escapism thoughts come through their minds. And they think, well, it'll be better if I went to Florida. But I'm going to give you a news flash. There are people who are burnt out in Florida too. Come on, somebody. You ever drive around? We just came from Florida visiting our in-laws. You ever drive around in Florida? It's madness. It makes 211 look beautiful. I'm like, thank you, Lord, for 211. Thank you, Lord. This is so great. It's only like a mile. You can be burnt out in South Carolina. You can be burnt out in Texas. It's not about your location. It's about what's happening inside your soul. Rest. Relinquishing control. Let me keep going here. Delight. It's another third part of Sabbath. What do you enjoy? Do you have a hobby? I remember they asked me that. What's your hobby? I'm like, preaching. I don't have a hobby. I've been called by God. There's no time because Jesus is coming at any moment. That's because I didn't know who I was outside of what I did. And that's what Sabbath does. It separates you from what you do. It strips you from finding your identity in your job. And it helps you understand that you are well-pleasing to God without doing anything. By the way, before Jesus even started ministry, his father spoke to him and said, "Well done. This is my son who I am well-pleased." Before Jesus preached one sermon and performed one miracle, the Father was pleased with him. And do you know that the Father is pleased with you just the way you are? Just the way you are? You don't have to work to be pleasing to God. But he wants you to delight. He wants you to enjoy what he's created. And I remember when I was turning, I think it was like 45. I says, "I'm 45 last year. And I was like, "I'm 45. And age will not defy me. I'm going on a bike ride." And October 18th, I went on a bike ride. And I remember it was beautiful. The sun was out. It was a warm day. The leaves were falling. And I start crying. This is when I was recovering from burnout in 2015 and 16. I was recovering in 2016. And I remember crying. And I didn't realize I hadn't slowed down enough to really enjoy nature. I didn't realize that nature fed my soul. And from that moment on, as I recovered, and even to this day, I create space to be with God in nature. This was me about a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. This is just, I sat there for an hour. It was about 50 degrees that day. Just an hour with God, feeding my soul. Releasing everything to God. Lord, I release the church. I release my family. I release my kids. I release my finances to you. You are a great and awesome God. You are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You follow what I'm saying? I delight in you. Listen, that's my rhythm every week. Delight in God. Delight in God. Now, I'm not perfect at it. I mess up. I sometimes look at my computer. I sometimes watch too much TV. I do those things, but I'm striving to just create this rhythm in my life. And this was me in the fall, just walking, just being with God. It's my Sabbath day. Just saying, "Lord, here I am. It's me, Joe. It's who I am. Let's walk with you." And that's the fourth part of Sabbath, is contemplating. It's not a day off. It's not like you just take a day off and then you get all your errands done and you do all your shopping. No, 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 no. You see, remember, Jesus said, "Learn from me. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." I'm gonna need your help with this one. This is the secular rhythm. This is where we're at, okay? Here we go. Hold on, let's start again. Do, 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 do. Now say it like you really want to go. Ready? A little quicker. Do. do, 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 do. How many can't wait for vacation, right? You know what the problem is with this model? Is that you just feel like, all the time, right? Except on, am I right? Come on, somebody, right? I'd be like, dude, some of y'all is like, I don't get it. Let me just help. Quickly now. Very good. That's how you feel when all your life is filled with stuff. You feel that way, don't you? But there's a better way. God's way. Ready? Now say rest the way you want us, the way you really want. Isn't that better? Isn't that better? Listen, you know what I've learned? That on my day of rest, I rest from work, but then I work from rest. That makes sense? And my day off used to be on Monday. I used to run myself ragged. And then Sunday, I was exhausted. I was in zombie mode early on, many years ago. And I realized my rhythms were off. I had to reorient my rhythms so that I'm here today fully rested. I'm working from my rest day. I am. I feel great. Right? And that's what God wants from you. So what he wants from you is to find a day. And you say, well, Pastor, what day do I have? Well, most of you have Sunday. Follow me with the cam. I'm going to come down. Most of you have Sunday. And you say, well, that's not much of a Sabbath. Well, this is the beautiful thing about Sunday for most of you. You're not vocationally called to be in ministry, so this is not your job. Worship is incorporated in this day. Isn't that beautiful? Worship. And then serving. Serving is not your job. It's not your vocation. You don't have to serve. You get to serve. And you serve unto the Lord. And we're asking you to serve every other week. We're so mindful of those that serve and say, you know, serve every other week, but take those two Sundays completely off from serving. But when you do serve, it's a service unto the Lord. And then after church, you don't run to Walmart. Because how many feel great? Like, man, I went to church. This was amazing. I feel the presence of God. And then by 1 o'clock, you're cursing people out on the Walmart line. Or you're just like driving like, why? I hate this place. I hate the devil. This woman's the devil. No. What you just got to create space. Go for a walk. Go for a drive. Maybe take some takeout home. And just sit and be with what is with your family. And take a nap. You know, lady, previous service, she said, thank you so much, Pastor. I was going to go home and finish up some work. But I'm going to rest. And you know what? God loves it when you rest. But I would also say, contemplate. Spend time with God. And say, Lord, here I am. For even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Thank you, God, that you are my shepherd. And you restore my soul. Hit the next slide for me, guys. Our work does not determine our worth. Who does? God does. And it's okay to do nothing. Do you know that no is a sentence? You know, no is a powerful word. How about I can't? Do you know that you're valuable without having to be productive? Isn't that good? So let me encourage you to plan this Sabbath day. Talk with your spouse. Talk with your family. Be strategic. What are we going to do? Let's go get all our errands done Friday night or Saturday. Let's make that our errand day. And let's just take Sunday for most of you to worship, to serve, to be with God, to go out to nature, to enjoy life, whatever fills you. So that we start our work week out of rest rather than from working. And I really believe this rhythm, we'll talk about the daily office on Wednesday if you're going to be there, but the daily office is also moments in your day with God. I'll leave you with this last verse in Isaiah 40, verse 31. I love that we sang that song today. It says, but those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Renew their strength. Why don't you bow your head with me? If you're tired...